Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and with me in the studio once again, Debbie Smith, the mayor of Ocean Isle Beach, and Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation. Ocean Isle Beach is one of three beach communities seeking a permit for a terminal groin, an erosion control device that officials hope will be a tool in the effective management of the shoreline. The North Carolina Coastal Federation opposes the use of these structures in the state. If you have a question or a comment for our guests, you can give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. And Mayor Smith, I promised before we went to break that I would give you a chance to address Mike Giles' points about the draft environmental impact statement that were just presented to the public.
This process is, though the town or the community seeking the permit hires the consultant and pays for them, we are not allowed to have private meetings with them or influence in any way. They are under the direction of the Corps in engineers. We do not meet with them without the Corps being there or their having a representative there or approving a meeting. So, you know, all these environmental agencies do have the opportunity to comment on this draft environmental impact statement. And it's they've had ample time to do that. They will also have time to make comment on the final environmental impact statement. So the stakeholders and the environmental agencies do have the opportunity to comment if they wish.
With Figure Eight Island, wasn't there a recent recommendation from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service about that project? Figure Eight is also seeking a terminal groin. Figure Eight has published their draft environmental impact statement. I'm not sure. Has the final come out yet?
And the Fish and Wildlife Service, what the Coastal Federation did, we wrote a letter to the Corps. Fish and Wildlife Service had not started the consultation. There's also critical endangered species habitat and nesting habitat at Figure Eight, as there is at this project. The Fish and Wildlife Service had not started the consultation. In fact, they hadn't been contacted by the applicant. Same here. It hasn't started. And that information is critical for the regulatory agencies and the general public to have to make an informed decision. There's no reason to issue a final EIS until you have all the information in a transparent public process, and that's what the National Environmental Policy Act stipulates. And it's the EIS is supposed to state what is proposed, what is happening, and how the applicant proposes to address the issues in clear, understandable language. This is a very complex issue. The environmental impact statement is over 500 pages deep, very complex modeling, very complex issues. And it was issued for public notice, for public review on January 23rd. And January 30th, they extended the public comment period to March 16th. That gives the public only 55 days to digest this document, which is unreasonable. We are going to approach the Corps of Engineers and ask that this draft EIS be put on hold, that a supplemental draft EIS be issued with the complete information that's required by NEPA.
You're talking about the Ocean Isle Beach draft EIS. With Figure Eight, did the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service issue any kind of recommendation?
They're working on it now. So what the Corps did, instead of issuing a final EIS, they were getting ready to issue a final EIS for Figure Eight in October. After our letter, and we actually met with the Corps of Engineers, the new colonel, they backed off and said they were going to draft a supplemental draft EIS, which will be available sometime late summer. So it gives the public and the regulatory agencies time enough to get all the information that's required for by NEPA in front of them to make informed comments.
As part of the environmental impact statement, the producer of that document is required to come up with mitigation measures. Is that right, Mayor?
Correct.
Debbie Smith,
yes,
of Ocean Isle Beach. What are some of the mitigation measures that are proposed in Ocean Isle Beach's environmental impact statement?
It could have to be made, the terminal groin could have to be modified to make it more leaky if the sand bypass needs to increase.
And when you say leaky, you're talking about?
Allowing more sand to go through it, around it. Maybe it needs to be shortened. Maybe it needs to have some rocks out the middle of it. I mean, those are not anticipated, but those are the kinds of things that would have to be done. And worst case scenario, if it does cause downdrift issues, it'll have to be removed.
Does anyone know what it would cost to deconstruct a terminal groin? Is that part of the project, putting those costs together?
I don't know whether that's in there or not.
It's not.
It's not. No.
The estimate.
But we know what it costs to construct it. So.
Well, we know the estimate of what it costs to construct it.
What's the estimate for the whole project?
A little bit over $5 million. That includes beach fill as well.
No, I believe that does not include the beach fill. It's $5.7 million plus $6.5 million for the beach fill. So it's about $12 million.
I believe that's incorrect.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Mike Giles, has the Coastal Federation looked into any estimates of what it might cost if, in fact, such a structure turned out to have detrimental impacts?
We have not.
Okay. So that's something nobody really knows.
And we're also talking about impacts to coastal ecosystems, to marshes, to wetlands, to endangered species, which under the Endangered Species Act is not allowed. And that's why the consultation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is so critical in this document.
What are some of the longer-term financial considerations for this? There will need to be maintenance of the terminal groin, Debbie Smith. How will that work?
There will need to be anticipated additional beach fill given over time. Ocean Isle Beach also has a federally sponsored coastal storm damage reduction project that's been very, very successful. It does require periodic renourishment, and the area that has to be periodically renourished, the entire length of that project is 3.2 miles, was built in 2001. The only area that has required renourishment is about the last eastern third of that project. The modeling shows that this terminal groin will extend that renourishment need from approximately every 3 years out to 6 years. That's a huge cost savings for Ocean Isle Beach residents, for the state of North Carolina that participates in that, as
because
well as
when
the federal government that
when
participates
you're talking
in that.
About beach renourishment, you're not just talking about Ocean Isle Beach residents paying for that. That's something that is funded in part by the state and in part by the federal government.
Correct. Correct. Just like the beaches in New Hanover County are, and some in Carteret County and across the nation. So, but it
and the reason that's done, Mike Giles of the Coastal Federation, is because these beaches are considered an asset to the state. They're considered a part of the state's economic engine with tourism.
They're an asset to this nation, and they're particularly an asset to the local communities, and that's why I was saying earlier we need a long term look at what we need to do to help these communities. Mayor Smith was talking about the beach renourishment, the federal project. That is part of the problem at their inlet. The Coastal Federation has always been opposed to mining our inlets for sand. And this inlet has been mined extensively. In fact, the permitted area has grown so large, it has a detrimental effect on the north end of ocean, the west end, east end, I'm sorry, of an Ocean Isle Beach. The alternative for relocating the inlet channel, that was tried in 2001. The reason it didn't work is the Corps extended their permitted dredge area and dredged a larger area. No modeling was ever done, no research on why that didn't work. It was done successfully at Mason Inlet. That was the preferred alternative at Figure 8 until terminal groin was legalized. And what the CRC said,
the Coastal Resources Commission
was...
And this is a state agency.
State agency that was mandated to do a study on whether terminal groins would benefit erosion issues. And the results were inconclusive. But they said they recommended for terminal groins, but in the language they said first alternatives should be considered, softer approaches before a terminal groin should ever be permitted.
Well, Mike Giles, haven't some beach communities tried some of these softer approaches?
Mason Inlet, successful. They relocated Inlet, protected Shell Island and Riceville Beach. And again, I'll point at Bogue Inlet, the same consultant, same modeling, same prediction. It didn't go as well as they predicted, but eventually it's starting to react and create that sand source at the north end of the island.
You mentioned the Coastal Resources Commission, and this is a body that is also working on a policy for sea level rise. And that policy, of course, could affect public policy, and it could affect our beach communities. How might the outcome of that policy decision affect Ocean Isle Beach, Mayor Debbie Smith?
Well, I believe these storm damage reduction projects and fill on our beach will help us address sea level rise issues. And I do have to respectfully take exception to what Mike has said about the dredging that was done in 2001 causing the erosion. I have lived on Ocean Isle Beach since the 1950s. That erosion has been chronic and back and forth ever since then. This storm damage reduction project did not cause the erosion on the east end of Ocean Isle Beach.
It causes bypass. It causes the sand bypass to not happen. It starves the beach down drip because the sand all goes in that hole they dig. That's proven.
Well, that's why we need a terminal groin there, so we keep it from going right back into the inlet.
Well, actually, if you didn't mind the inlet, you wouldn't have that problem.
Actually, since the beach renourishment, the Ocean Isle has stabilized other than that last very small section of the island, and so has our neighbor across the street, across the inlet, Holden Beach.
Let me talk about Holden Beach. In the draft EIS and the modeling, the model predicts erosion when the beach actually has accreted. So that's a hole in their modeling. It's incorrect. And I don't mean a little bit. It predicts losing 80 cubic feet when the accretion of 80 cubic feet was observed. So, again, the consultant has picked information out of the modeling to make their numbers look good. It's just not correct.
Well, taking a step back here, we have these beach communities that have been settled and they continue to expand. And it is part of the economic landscape of the state. Is there a way for environmental advocates to work with the beach communities? Mike Giles, you were talking about being part of a team that was consulting on the draft environmental impact statement. Why is that process not happening as cooperatively as it might? Is that just because your position is just this can't happen and therefore any input you give is going to be to reach that end goal of making sure it doesn't happen?
Well, that's our end goal on this state law. In 2009, the Coastal Federation sponsored a beach summit. A lot of beach communities were in that summit. It was at Pivers Island, Duke University. They came up with a long laundry list of recommendations, and one of them was to look beyond our nose to come up with a comprehensive, innovative plan to address erosion issues at our beach communities, because our beach communities are one of the strongest economic engines in the state, and we don't want to see them destroyed by erosion or by hardened structures. This coastal summit, we approached Governor Perdue trying to put together a blue ribbon panel. We would like to do that again. Harry Simmons, the mayor of Caswell Beach, I can't remember. I wasn't there. But a lot of people that were proponents of terminal groins came up with this laundry list of recommendations for our beaches, for our coasts, for our economy. And we'd like to see that re-energized for people coming together with a holistic purpose instead of a Band-Aid approach.
We have just a few minutes left in the show. Mayor Debbie Smith, please.
Well, we have tried softer approaches at Ocean Isle Beach. We have placed beach fill for protection in this area where the groin will protect, and it promptly falls right back into the inlet. So, you know, this is a sand management tool. We can argue all day long that it that it causes. I mean, I've been there. Hurricane Hazel changed the flow of Shallotte Inlet and forever filled in Shallotte River and, you know, changed all the dynamics. Any hurricane can do that to any part of the coast at any time. And again, just like I said, whether you live in California and it's earthquakes, or whether you live on the coast where it's hurricanes, or whether you live in the West where you're subject to tornadoes, we all have Mother Nature to deal with. Those of us that live on the coast certainly appreciate Mother Nature, because that's what's brought us there, is the beauty and the beaches. We're not out to destroy it, but we are out to protect it. And there's very little natural about our shorelines since they dug the Intracoastal Waterway and changed flows and dynamics way back in the 20s and 30s. So, you know, a proper, thoughtful approach will work and will help us, as many states have proven in the coast and our coastlines.
And I would say that's a very passionate final thought. Mike Giles from the Coastal Federation, final thought for you.
I agree with what she says about we need to protect our coast. We need to preserve what's special about it. If you look at Rich Inlet, where they're proposing a tournament of growing, this is the most stable inlet in North Carolina. Now it's all about right and wrong. We can win or we don't want to lose. Mother Nature has taken care of that problem up there. They don't need a terminal groin. One of the alternatives was channel realignment. That needs to be looked at more closely and more modeling. Very little modeling was done. How the Corps can accept this document, I find incredulous.
And that's this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank our guests, Mayor Debbie Smith of Ocean Isle Beach and Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation. Thanks also to you, our listeners. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Join us for the next Coastline when we explore Women's History Month, where it came from, and how it relates to this third wave of feminism. That's next Wednesday at noon here on HQR News 91.3 FM. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.